Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church this morning. Warm welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online, especially our friends and our church family at Littlewood Court, and to all who are watching on our catch-up service during the week to come. Welcome to worship, everyone. So glad to have you with us today. Any day we get to gather together as worshipers of God, I think, is a good day. We give thanks for the opportunity and for the freedom to gather together as God's people. And in that spirit of thanksgiving, we now sing our first song of praise to God, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And during the singing of this hymn, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemeny and beyond will be uplifted.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as your church and worship you this morning. Jesus, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the King of our lives. Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning because you have the name above all names, and you have been exalted to the right hand of the Father. We praise you for your glory, for your majesty, for your love. Lord, there is no one like you. We praise you and you alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we confess that we often do not recognize you as the King of our lives. Often, we would rather that we ourselves be in charge, to live life on our terms, to be the sovereigns of our own lives. We confess that often, instead of presenting ourselves to you as your obedient servants, we present ourselves as obedient servants to sin. Lord, would you hear now our silent prayers of confession? Lord, we thank you that even when we turn away from you, you remain faithful to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, our King of kings, humbled yourself to the point of death on a cross for us. We thank you that you won the battle against the powers of sin and death that oppressed us. We thank you that by your blood we have been made clean. By your wounds we have been healed. Father, we thank you for giving your Son for us in order to adopt us as your holy and beloved children forever. We are children of the King. Holy Spirit, we pray that through the power of Christ's death and resurrection, you would continue to set us free from the powers of sin and death, more and more every day, from one degree of glory to another. We pray that as we continue to worship you, you would draw us into your presence with thankful hearts to sing your praise. Lord, would you reveal your glory to us here this morning and renew us in your image? Would you increase our love for you and for our neighbor through Christ who lives in us? Would you open our minds and our hearts to hear your word read and preached this morning? We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who when we pray taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We now continue in worship together by singing our next song of praise, which is Only by Grace.
Mark of the treasures to the sky.
Can I have the kiddos join me up here on the stage for the children's sermon? Test, test. Yeah, there we go. So these past few weeks, we've been talking about a very important person from the Old Testament. I just said his name, but does anyone know off the top of your heads? Samuel, that's right. We're talking about Samuel. So I'm going to tell a little bit just of a story of about kind of what Samuel's doing and what's going on in the book today. In this part of the book, Samuel has already led Israel for a long time, and he's done a really good job, actually. But now he's getting older, and his sons are going to take his place. There's just one problem. His sons aren't actually very good leaders. They're actually criminals. So question, do you guys think that criminals make good leaders?
No,
that's right. They don't make very good leaders. So the Israelites are looking for a new leader. They don't want a criminal to lead them. So they tell Samuel that they want to have a king because they see all their neighbors doing that, and they think that kings are really cool. So they just want to be like everyone else. But this makes Samuel feel kind of sad. Do you guys know why Samuel would feel sad about this? It's actually because he feels like the Israelites are rejecting him, because he used to be their leader, and now they're saying, actually, I think we want someone else now. Do you guys feel like it feels good to be rejected? Have you been rejected before? Doesn't feel very good, no. Do you guys know who else actually feels rejected in this passage when the Israelites ask for a king? The passage actually says that God feels rejected. God wants to be Israel's king, but the people of Israel said that they would rather have a human king than God. They want to be like all their neighbors, like everyone else. So what do you guys think that God might have done after the people of Israel said, we don't really want you to be our king? Yeah.
Made the lightning storm?
Yeah. I don't know. If I was God, I feel like I would maybe be kind of upset with them. Do you guys think that maybe God would want to leave them behind, say, okay, you guys rejected me. I don't really want to stick with you anymore. Does that sound like something God would do?
No.
No, that's right, you guys. You got it right. God actually chooses to stay with his people, even after they say, we don't really want you to be our king. He stays with them. I think it's actually the same way with us. Because all of us, we sometimes do things that make God sad, or we do things that we know are wrong. But do you guys think that God leaves us when we do those things? I don't think that he does, no. God actually stays with us all the time. He even promised us, is in the Bible, actually, that he will never leave us or forsake us. Do you guys know why he never leaves us? It's because he loves us. So even when we do things that we're not that happy about, God still stays with us, and we can always come back to him because he's always going to be there for us. So you guys join me in a little repeat after me prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you that even when we do wrong, you still don't leave us. Help us to love you more and more every day. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head back down to your seats. What's the next song?
So our next song that we sing is How Great Is Our God. Stuff.
The lesson this morning will be found on page 278 of the Church Bible, and it is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 to 22. Israel asks for a king. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be his commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we shall be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone is to go back to his town." May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. God is our one true King. So in that spirit of faith, we sing our next hymn, "Before the Throne of God Above."
Thank you.
Good morning. Maybe your mic, Josh. Oh, okay. Well, will you please join me in a word of prayer this morning? Lord, we thank you for this time to gather together and worship you and to hear your word. God, I pray that you would bless my words this morning, that your spirit would lead me, and that you would enable each one of us to hear the word that you have for us this morning. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we are picking up in our 1 Samuel sermon series, and we're looking now at chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. I want to just track back and figure out where we have been at for these past few weeks. If we remember back to our first week, we have Samuel being born. We have, after that, Hannah and Elkanah giving Samuel to the Lord for his whole life. We've heard about Eli and his worthless or wicked sons. And at this point in our story, God has actually turned aside Eli and his household and has chosen Samuel to be his prophet, to be his priest. And at this point, Samuel has become a judge over Israel, and he's actually done this quite well. He's been a faithful judge to Israel. But now Samuel has gotten old, and we have his sons, and that's where we're picking up in the story today, in chapter 8. So in the first three verses of the chapter, we're already hearing that the leadership of Israel is starting to take a turn for the worse once again. Although Samuel has been a faithful judge, his sons have already become wayward once again. Verse 3 tells us, actually, that Samuel's sons, Joel and Abijah, turned aside after gain. They took bribes. They perverted justice. I mean, if you think about it, these are basically the worst possible things that an administrator of justice can do. Like, their one job, they're just totally failing. And there's actually some irony here, too. One of Samuel's sons is named Joel, and that name means Yahweh is God. His other son, Abijah, his name means Yahweh is my father. Clearly, these sons of Samuel aren't really living up to the piety of their names. They're not really being faithful leaders for Israel. So we look to verses 4 and 5, and we see that these elders, reasonably so, aren't very happy with this leadership system. They want a new leader in place of these judges. But this time, they don't want another judge, which is the current form of leadership in Israel. They want a king instead. Their judges are failing them, so they think that a king is going to be the solution to their problems. They're really just kind of trading one failed form of human leadership for another here. But verse 5 also gives us another reason that they want a king, specifically. It says that so that they can be like all the other nations. But Israel wasn't actually ever supposed to be like the other nations. Israel is supposed to be God's set-apart nation. Israel's supposed to reveal God's ways to their neighbors, not to become like them. So Israel is starting to really lose sight here of its God-given identity and purpose. This request for a king really isn't a good thing. In verses 6 to 9, we see that Samuel does not really take this request well. He's pretty upset. And instead of interceding for his people like he's done in the past, he's actually complaining about them to God. It appears that Samuel feels like the people of Israel are rejecting his role as their judge. It's as if Samuel's saying to God, how could they do this to me? How could they reject me? Now, God's answer to Samuel, I think, is really shocking here. In verses 7 and 8, God tells Samuel that it's not just Samuel that the Israelites have rejected. It's actually God's own leadership. Israel wasn't ever meant to put their faith in human leaders as their kings. God was always their king. But Israel is not able to see this right now. In asking for this human king, Israel's not only rejecting Samuel's leadership, but also the leadership of God himself in a way. But for some reason, God still tells Samuel to listen to the people's request. I think that's interesting. God allows Israel to reject him as their king. He gives them the freedom to do that, to turn away from his kingship in favor of another. But God does tell Samuel to warn the people of the ways of their future king. Specifically in verse 9, God instructs Samuel to tell the Israelites about the rights of their future king. Now, this is a bit ironic as well, because the Hebrew word for rights is closely related to the word for justice. And as we look at this whole list of behaviors that these future kings are going to have, justice is about the last thing that comes to mind. When we look to verses 10 through 18, Samuel warns the people of Israel that this king they're longing for is going to take away their sons to fight his wars for him, to make weapons of war, to till his earth. He's going to take away their daughters to be his servants. Their kings are going to take away the best of their farmland and give it to their officers. They'll take away the tenth of their crop yields and give it to their officials. They're going to take away their male and female servants, their work animals, their livestock. And worst of all, verse 17 actually says that their kings will actually make them slaves. Their kings, their own kings, are going to do this to them. It's a terrible prophecy of the mistreatment that's going to come to them at the hands of these kings. And all of these things under different kings of Israel and Judah, these things actually come to pass. This prophecy is fulfilled. But we see in verses 19 through 22, even after being warned of all of these things, the Israelites still want this king. Verse 19 says that they refuse to obey Samuel's voice. They won't even listen to the voice of their own judge anymore. They say, "We've had enough with you. We want our thing to happen." And again, in verse 20, we hear Israel's reasoning. The leaders say that they want this king so that they would be like all the other nations. And they go further into detail here. They say that they want a king so that their king would go out before them and fight their battles. But these Israelites have forgotten that before this time, God was the one who went out before them. God was the one who fought their battles for them. God was their king. And now Israel doesn't want God, but a human king to go out before them and fight their battles. They don't want things to happen on God's terms. They want to be in charge themselves, to have their own king. But as we've heard before, still God allows the Israelites to turn away from him. Verse 22, God tells Samuel to obey the people's request, to grant them their king. That's our passage this morning. Honestly, it's not a very uplifting passage. It's kind of a dark time in Israel's history. It only takes one generation for these judges after we have hope in Samuel, who seems like a really faithful judge. Already his sons have gone wayward again, just like Eli's sons. It's just repeating itself. And then instead of appealing to God for a new judge, the leaders of Israel want to take matters into their own hands by basically forcing Samuel to give them a king. And in the process of doing this, they're rejecting God as their true king. The Israelites in this passage are really wayward. They've rejected God as their king, and they want to set up this human king in his place. And it's not just here that we see this kind of waywardness in Israel. It's throughout Israel's history. From the time of Moses in the Exodus, to the time of the judges, to the times of the kings, again and again and again, on and on, Israel keeps on turning away from God. Why? Why do they keep on turning away? Scripture tells us that ever since the fall, ever since Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden, that humanity has been under the powers of sin and death. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, has a phrase in Latin for this. He says, "Non posse, non peccare," which means in English, "not able to not sin." Essentially, it means that these Israelites and all humanity, they just can't help but do anything else. Sinning is really all they know how to do. They couldn't help themselves. So where's the good news here? This is probably seeming like kind of a downer sermon so far. I promise that there's good news coming, but first I want to talk about us. How does this passage apply to us? Are we in the same boat as those Israelites back then? Are we in the same boat as all of humanity at that time? Are we stuck under the powers of sin and death? Are we ourselves enslaved to sin? Are we just bound to a lifetime of turning away from God over and over and over? Is there anything that we can do? Are we bound to reject God as our true king, just like the Israelites did? The answer to that is no. We're free, and this is why. This is the good news. Even though Israel, time and again, throughout Scripture, rejects God and turns away from him, God never rejects Israel. God always remains faithful to them, even when they're faithless to him. time and time again, God is always there for him, for Israel. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son to redeem Israel, to redeem the world, to redeem me and you from the powers of sin and death. Through his death on the cross and through his resurrection, Jesus has defeated the powers of sin and death. Not only did Jesus atone for our sins, the very power of sin was actually put to death with him on the cross. Jesus defeated the powers of sin and death, and he left them in the grave. And so have we. So have all of us who are in Christ. Just as Jesus rose from the grave as the victorious king, we ourselves, in our own ways, we've been raised from our own graves. We've been raised into a whole new kind of life with Jesus. So what does that mean for us? It means that the sin that we still see in our lives, and I think it's still there for all of us in some ways, sin that never seems to quite let go, that always seems to keep us turning away from God again and again. Even as we're in the middle of that battle, we can be confident that that very sin was defeated by Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. It means that whatever sin is still clinging to our lives today, we've been set free from that through what Jesus has done on the cross. Our sin has been defeated. Even as we're in the middle of the battle, we know that we're on the winning side. Paul puts it another way in his letter to the Romans. He says, sin will no longer have dominion over us since we're not under the law, but under grace. Do you guys remember the words that we just sang together from before the throne of God above? It says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Jesus has made an end of our sin. Friends, by God's grace, we've been made clean forever. We're God's holy and beloved children. Nothing can ever change that. Even in the middle of our struggles with sin, even as we're still dealing with it in our lives, we are still God's holy and beloved children because of what Christ has done. That will never change. So as we go from here today, let's go in the knowledge of the good news that because of what God has done, we've been freed. We have been set free from the dominion of sin and death. We have been reconciled to God. God has made us holy. He's adopted us as his sons and daughters. We're children of the King. Sin is no longer our master. Jesus, our true King, has defeated sin and he's set us free. And now we're free to worship God, to worship Jesus as our King forever. We're not just stuck in this hopeless cycle of turning away from God again and again. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come. There's still going to be times when we mess it up, but we're still God's children. He still loves us. We're still holy, and he's setting us free day by day. So we can go out in that hope, knowing that Jesus is our true King. He's our champion, and he's won our battle for us. Amen.
Thank you, David. The message of 1 Samuel, the message of the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that God is faithful. God never turns away from God's promises. They are always kept, for even when we are faithless, Scripture says, God is faithful and will not deny himself. So in that spirit of faith, we now sing our next hymn of praise, Great is thy faithfulness. We have heard this morning, even when we are wayward, even when we turn away from God, even when we demand things that pull us away from God, that God continues to be faithful. And in Jesus Christ, we have the surest, clearest, most tangible proof of God's faithfulness to each and every one of us. And this table, these elements, this bread and this drink, these are signs which God himself has given us in Jesus Christ as reminders of his faithfulness towards us every day of our lives. And all are welcome to take part in communion today. There is room at this table for all who desire to love and follow Jesus Christ. And here in Kemnay Church, we take communion together by first passing out the bread. We hold it together, then we take it together. And then same with the cup. We share the cup together with our neighbors. We hold it together, and then we take it together as well. So please, would you join me in the responsive call to the table? Come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right, but because we need mercy and help. Come because we love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves us and gave himself for us. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Lord, we come before you now to this table, mindful of your unending and unfailing goodness towards each of us. We confess in this time, Lord, that by ourselves we are not worthy to receive you. We confess that we have turned away. We have demanded to be the kings and queens of our own lives. We confess the times that we have rejected your rule over us. And in our confession, Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. We trust in your redeeming purpose. We trust that you need only say the word, and we shall be healed. And as a sign of our faith, Lord, in your pardon, in your love for each of us, we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle in his first letter to the Corinthian Christians. Paul writes, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And in response to this great act of grace in the saving death of Jesus Christ, we declare together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. Will the elders please come forward now for the distribution of the bread. Brothers and sisters, take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for us. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. The elders, please come forward for the distribution of the cup.
In this bread of life, and we share.
Brothers and sisters, this cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood has been shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of us. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace. This morning we have a few intimations to share. First, a couple focus intimations. Alan, if you wouldn't mind putting the next slide up, please. The first, as we may be aware, that next Sunday, the 6th of October, will be our celebration of Harvest Thanksgiving. And after discussion, Kirk Session of Kemeny Parish Church has decided that this year's donations will go towards the Inverary Food Bank. And so your generosity towards that cause next Sunday is warmly appreciated. Next slide, please. We've also been asked to announce that we may be aware in recent memory we have supported the Scottish charity Air Ambulance for a Christmas donation. And there is a chance to watch the SCAA team in action in a new BBC Scotland documentary series called Paramedics on the Scene. And that is playing today at 9 p.m. on BBC Scotland. So it's a great chance to see this wonderful charity in action, and thanks Ian Rigby for making us aware of this to watch this tonight, hopefully. A few other intimations to share now. One is about Super Sundays. As we know, we had our first Super Sunday recently over at the Kemeny Church Center, and I'm pleased to report it was a great success. And our next Super Sunday will be held on the fourth Sunday of October, over at the center. This one will be slightly different in that it'll be similar in the sense that our children and our explorers Sunday school will still gather over at the church center for a time of learning and fellowship, and other folks are welcome to come over there to join in worship as we live stream it across to the church center along with worshiping here. But after worship, we'll also have a shared lunch. And so please do mark your diaries for that. A shared lunch for the whole church to enjoy together. And who doesn't love a good shared lunch? So that's 27th of October, that's Super Sunday, shared lunch edition. And then the next Super Sunday will be the fourth Sunday in November, on the 24th of November, for our Advent-focused Super Sunday. And this has been a great success, as I've said so far, but we're always looking for people to help out with this. So if you'd like to volunteer some time to help, please speak with me or make contact with my lovely wife, Heather, to make your interest known. We're also in need of a couple of folk to join our church cleaning rota. Two people would be ideal to join the rota, even on a temporary basis. If you can help with the task of cleaning the church, it's not an every week responsibility, but it's part of a rota, a team of people who contribute to this work. Please make contact with Stuart in the church office. Last Sunday, I announced this as well, and I'll make an announcement again about an event on the 23rd of October called Cakes, Bakes, and Faith to join bakers Martha Collison and Will Torrent for an evening of fun, food, and faith. That's the 23rd of October at Aberdeen Christian Fellowship. Tickets and info are available at the link from tierfund.org listed on your orders of service. A reminder as well that Bible discovery groups will continue this week on Mondays and Wednesdays at the Church Center from 7:30 p.m. till 9 p.m., and all are warmly welcome to join in those times of learning more about Scripture together. If you haven't done so already, as well, on the website, there's still, I believe, an opportunity to make your voice heard with a Kirk News survey. Andrew, I believe the link is still up on the webpage. Is that yes? So if you haven't done so already, we're asking everybody to take just a few moments of your time to go into KemeneParish.church. On the front page, there is a link right there to the Kirk News survey. Please do take a moment, if you haven't done so already, to fill out that survey to make your views known of how we can make the Kirk News more effective and more relevant and more helpful to our collective ministry in Kemeny Parish Church. And last but most certainly not least, we're also in need of one or two folk to volunteer some time as church officers. Right now, our illustrious church officer Leslie, this dapper gentleman in the back here, is holding down the fort. But we are in need of one or two folk, if they can volunteer some time to help Leslie bear the burden of being church officer for Kemeny Parish Church. It's probably not a permanent thing, but a temporary assignment. But if you have some time and interest in learning more about that, Leslie, can I speak with you about that? He's nodding yes, so that's good. So please speak with Leslie if you're able at all to help with the duties of being church officer here in Kemeny Kirk. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Very good. With those shared then, I would invite Noel forward to lead us in our next prayer. Noel.
Before we pray, can I just remind you that on Thursday morning, some of us have been meeting for an informal prayer meeting. Unfortunately, several people are either indisposed or on holiday. I'm going to ask you, as members of the church, in your own time, in your own place, on Thursday mornings about 10 o'clock, could you just stop, pause, and pray for our church, for the people in it, and for those who are unwell or on holiday or unable to join us in any way? Thursday mornings about 10 o'clock. If you can, just a few minutes, the power of prayer is amazing. Thank you. Let us pray. I'm going to ask you to have some responses in this prayer. So when you hear, Lord, hear our prayer, will you respond with, and let our cry come unto you? Can we practice that? Lord, hear our prayer. And let our cry come unto you. Father, we thank you for being here with us this morning. Let's take the time now to concentrate on the world we live in, its problems, its blessings, and bring them to you in prayer. We give thanks for the movements that are making us aware of the dangers of climate change to our world. But Lord, help us not just to listen and wait, but to be part of making a difference to this world that you have created for us, to respect it, to be part of the movement for changing how we manage and use its resources. You gave us the world to look after for the benefit of all mankind, Lord, not just for some to plunder, but for all to share equally. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We are aware of unrest in many countries. We are aware of the dominance and bullying of some governments, the increasing number of people made refugees in their own countries, the numbers who disappear, or those fleeing from their country of origin, seeking asylum elsewhere. Lord, we bring them to you in their different plights. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Tear Fund, Christian Aid, Oxfam, Médecins Sans Frontières, to name just a few of the organisations which help people to regain their self-respect, feed their families, and seek healing once again. Lord, help us who have a National Health Service, education for our children, and many other benefits to be more grateful and respectful for these benefits and those who provide them for us. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We seek a more just and fair world, Lord, and ask that the leaders of countries in our world may seek, under your guidance, a balance of fairness to all world citizens, regardless of caste, colour, creed, religion, gender, and sexual orientation. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We've heard today about Saul being anointed king, a king for the people because they wanted to be the same as other nations and because they rejected your sovereignty, Lord. You are our sovereign Lord. Help us to listen to you, to accept those who govern, even if we disagree with them, and we ask that you will work in their hearts for the good of all men. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come to you. We bring those who are ill, who are anxious about future treatment they have to undergo, be it physical or mental health issues they face. We lay them before you, Lord, asking for your intervention, your presence in their lives, and your peace for them, their families, and friends. Lord, we bring ourselves to you who has fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all mankind. Send us out into the world in peace to love and serve you with gladness. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. We now sing our closing song of praise together. We rejoice in the goodness of our God.
Accept the captives free.
Before the benediction, just to clarify one intimation about the Harvest Thanksgiving collection for the food bank, I believe we're looking for monetary donations rather than donations of foodstuff. So monetary donations for the cause of the Inverary Food Bank. Thank you. I receive the benediction. The word of Scripture is clear, that even when we turn away, even when we are less than faithful, God continues to be faithful. God is always faithful, turning all things back to Him for the good of us, for His glory. Go forth from this place and live into the faithfulness of God. Bear witness to this faithfulness with our own lives. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it be upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore. Thank you.